We are going to continue in the book of Acts, and today we are going to see the outpouring of God's Spirit on all nations. And last week we saw how the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and they spoke in other tongues. And there were a lot of people, a lot of pilgrims who were packed in Jerusalem. These were Jewish pilgrims from different nations who have come to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. So probably there would have been about 130,000 people jam-packed in Jerusalem. And then when the Holy Spirit came, they heard a sound. And this sound was very strong, loud noise, like a rushing of a wind they heard. And they went to see what's going on. When they went, they found the disciples speaking in their own language, praising God. Now, that's where we stop. So let's continue from verse 12, Acts chapter 2, verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? So they were amazed, they were very surprised, they were perplexed means they were confused, and asking, what is the meaning of this? Because these people are speaking our language. They are Galileans. They are not educated. How can they speak our language? So they were amazed, surprised, astonished. At the same time, they were confused. Then verse 13 says, others mocking said they are full of new wine. Now, there's always going to be skeptics. Skeptic means people who are very doubtful, who doesn't believe. Always when you preach the gospel, there are people who are going to be mocking at you. And here, there were people who were mocking at them. And they were making fun. And they are saying, these people are drunk. So they were here to make everybody laugh. And remember how Jesus, during the crucifixion, they mocked Jesus. Remember? In Matthew chapter 27, let me read it for you. Matthew 27, verse 29. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed on his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Here, the King of glory, God who became man, and they are mocking at him, making a crown of thorns and mocking him, and like a mock worship to him. And also we see in verse 30, they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe of him and put his own clothes to him on him and led him away to be crucified. And verse 31, we saw verse 31, then verse 40, 41, and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. And here they were mocking at Jesus. Mockers are always going to be there. They were there during the time of Jesus. If they mock Jesus, they are going to mock at you. They are going to mock at the Christians. And 2 Peter 3:3, it says that during the last days, there will be people, mockers are going to come in the last days. So let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 14. when they were mocking, verse 14 says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. And here, Peter is saying, the verse 14, it starts with but. I like this. But means there's a change here. What is the change here? When I thought about the change, the first thing that came to my mind was Peter himself was a big change. Remember, Peter, he was a timid, coward, and he denied Jesus 3 times and went away, and he was scared. And now he says, but Peter, there was a change in Peter's life. What was the change? Because when the Holy Spirit came upon them, what happened? See, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And here we see there was power that came. And you can see, but Peter. There was a change in Peter, who was a coward. Now he became bold with power. What did he say? He was standing up. He was not going away anywhere, trying to hide. He stood up with the 11, raised his voice. Meaning he was not scared to talk loud. He spoke loudly and said, men of Judea, really speaking, literally, men of Jews. Okay? Jews. Men of Jews. And all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. Peter is saying to these Jewish pilgrims, all who have come from different countries, and to the local Jewish people, I want you to hear what I got to say. Then verse 15. Peter said, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, it is only the 3rd hour of the day. Peter is saying, these people, we are not drunk because it's only the 3rd hour. 3rd hour means at 9 o'clock in the morning. We are not drunk. But let me tell you, they are drunk in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. Ephesians 5:18 says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's what they were. They were filled with the Spirit. That's what happens when you're drunk in the Spirit or filled in the Spirit. You get boldness, power from above. Then let's go to verse 16, Acts chapter 2, 16. But this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. Now here, Apostle Peter is going to quote a prophecy that was prophesied by Joel the prophet, and it is fulfilled this day when the Holy Spirit came. So Peter is prophesying Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 38. All right? You can read that later, but Peter is quoting the same prophecy in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 to 21. So let's read Acts 2, 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. This is Joel's prophecy. That I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and your men servants, and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire, the vapor of smoke, the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and the awesome day of the Lord, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, this is a fulfillment of the prophecy, and some of them are fulfilled, some are not yet. Now, before I get into this prophecy, we are going to see this. I want to see the big picture here. The big picture is, we have to see that God, in the Old Testament times, He chose one man. That one man was Abraham. And out of Abraham came a nation. And that nation was the nation of Israel. To this nation, God gave the law. To this nation, God gave the covenants. To this nation, God sent prophets. To this nation, God said Messiah is going to come. To this nation, God gave a place for people to worship, the temple. And this was given to one nation, one people, one place to worship. That's very important for us to understand if we are going to understand Joel's prophecy. But yet, God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Now, these are the keys that we are going to unlock for us to see Joel's prophecy. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Yet God told Abraham, "And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." That means, in you, all the families of the earth, that means all the ethnic groups of the earth are going to be blessed. Through Abraham is going to come the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, all the ethnic groups are going to be blessed. Now, before it was one nation, one group, one country, one temple. Now, God is going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. We had to see that for us to understand. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days." Last days started at Pentecost. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the last days started. A lot of Christians believe the last days are the days that we are living. No. The last days started at Pentecost. "The last days, says God, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions, old men shall dream dreams, and my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Now you can see how God poured out His Spirit on the Gentiles. Not only on Jewish people, but on Gentiles. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Actually, there was this Italian centurion. He was a Gentile. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Here we see Peter was told to go to this Italian centurion's house. And Peter was preaching the gospel. Verse 44, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision," that is, those are the Jews, "who believed were astonished." They were surprised. "As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues," that means their own language, "and magnify God." And here we see how God poured out His Spirit on all flesh, including the Gentiles. Now remember, in John chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus gave a hint about this to Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, 16, we know this scripture, when Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus was a Jew, right? But Jesus told Nicodemus, John 3, 16, for God so loved the world. Meaning, Jesus did not tell Nicodemus, for God so loved Israel. Jesus did not say, God so loved the Jews, but said the world. Meaning, the Gentiles also. Different ethnic groups also. And also remember how Jesus, told the Samaritan woman there is going to be not only the temple that is going to be worshipped, that we can worship in the spirit and in the truth, okay, and the day is coming we can worship anywhere. So, here it says, the sons of your daughters will prophesy, young men, old men, men servants, maid servants. What does this mean? It means it includes all classes of people. It includes all classes of people. It includes people in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all over Europe, England, America, Australia, New Zealand, Russia, China, India, Africa, Philippines. It includes people who live in mansions, people who live in a little hut in Africa, doctors, engineers, farmers, street sweepers, all classes of people. All right? God is going to pour out His Spirit and they shall prophesy. What do you mean by prophesy? Prophesy, a lot of times when we think about the word prophesy, we think somebody is going to speak about the future, right? The word prophecy also has another meaning. The Greek word for prophesy here is prophetia. It means to speak the mind and the counsel of God. It means to teach or read or edify somebody with the word of God. Right now, I am prophesying to you. It meaning I am using the word of God to you. So prophesy means to admonish somebody with the word of God. Admonishing the wicked and comforting the afflicted, it means to revealing the word of God. That's what it means. Also, so here, now, before it was only the Jews, the priests was able to do that. Only the prophets were able to do that. But at the Pentecost, now, anybody in the church can comfort somebody from the word of God. Because God has poured out His Spirit on all flesh. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1:1, and it says here, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, that means after the Pentecost, He has spoken to us by His Son, that is Jesus, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. So in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. We have the word of God now. So anybody can encourage anyone from the word of God. Whether you're a woman, or a man, or a child, or an old man, or all classes of people. Okay? And here, we have visions for the Lord. We have great visions. Okay? And God is going to, we are excited in our visions, and God is going to fulfill according to His promises. Now, before there's something very interesting that happened in the Old Testament, okay? I want you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 11. So we can understand fully. Numbers chapter 11. Remember Moses. He was taking care of the children of Israel in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 11, verse 14, we see Moses is complaining to God. Verse 14 says, I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. Lot of people here. Moses is going, they're not easy to take care of these people. And Moses says, it's too much for me. I cannot take care of them. They're always complaining, grumbling. Then verse 15 says, if you treat me like this, please kill me here now. I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. God, Moses is so frustrated, he's telling God, kill me. I'd rather die than to take care of these people. It's such a great burden. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of the meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you and put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it with yourself. So God said, I'm going to put my spirit upon these 70 people, so you don't have to bear the burden alone with you, alone. Now, the interesting thing is, see verse 26. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. And verse 27 says, and a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, verse 28, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said to Moses, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. So Joshua said, Moses, my master, don't allow them to prophesy. What was Moses' answer? Moses' answer. You will see. And Moses returned. Moses said to them, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the people, all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put His spirit on them. Moses said, I wish that Lord would put His spirit on everybody, so everybody will prophesy. Wow. Now you see Acts chapter 2, how God poured out His spirit on all flesh. Then we all can prophesy, in a sense that we can reveal the word of God to somebody, to one another. That's what happened in Acts chapter 2. Amazing, isn't it? And so it's then, verse 19 says, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great awesome day of the Lord. Now let me explain this to you. Whenever you see the day of the Lord, and it says your awesome day of the Lord, it is the judgment of God. What happened? Jesus already prophesied that there is a judgment that is going to come upon the children of Israel in Jerusalem. Turn with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23:44. Luke chapter 23, verse 44. And Jesus said, now, wait a minute. I'm sorry, verse 19. I got my... Hold on a second. Get my Bible. Wrong scripture. Luke chapter 24:29. Sorry about that. Matthew 24:29. Jesus already prophesied immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And here we see that Jesus already gave a prophecy that what is going to happen. Okay? And here we see that Jesus already gave a prophecy where what is going to happen. And, So what happened here? What happened here is something that is really amazing. The great and the awesome day of the Lord. And there was a great judgment that came upon Jerusalem. Turn with me to one scripture. Actually, this is the one I was going to show you. Luke chapter 21, verse 20. Luke 21, 20. Jesus said, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies and they know that desolation is here, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon those people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword. They will be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles will fulfill. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and the stars, and the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves. Here, what happened is, after 40 years, when Peter preached his sermon, after 40 years, that is in 70 AD, 40 years later, Titus the Roman Emperor came with 30,000 troops. In 143 days, during the time of the Passover, during those times, again, Jerusalem was packed with Jewish pilgrims. The Titus, the Roman Emperor, came and demolished Jerusalem. These visitors were trapped. Josephus, the Christian historian, Josephus, the Jewish historian, he talks about this in history. And he tells that blood, fire, and vapor of smoke filled the whole city. About 600,000 to 1 million people were killed. Josephus says that the outer temple flowed with blood all over. God visited with the great day of judgment. The sun was turned into darkness, the moon into blood, and there were stars that was falling, and there was terrible thunder and lightning. Joel's prophecy, this prophecy was fulfilled in 70 AD. And many people died. Now, not only that, there is another day of judgment that is going to come in the future. The great day of the judgment that's the greatest judgment that is going to come. The Jewish worship system, the place of worship, the temple, sacrifices, ceremonial worship, that was all destroyed. Now we can worship God after that destruction, after that destruction. There's no one place we can go and worship, right? We can go anywhere and worship. Why? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 says, 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" Now, the temple is your own body, which God purchased us. Holy Spirit lives in us. And John chapter 4 verse 21, remember I told you a little bit about this, John chapter 4 21, how Jesus told the Samaritan woman, John 4:21, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." And here we see we can worship God wherever, in spirit and truth. And our body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, God used Titus, the Roman emperor, to bring judgment during that time because of sin. Because there's a lot of corruption during that time. But there's another future great day of judgment that is going to come. Revelation chapter 6 verse 17 talks about this great judgment day. Revelation 6:17, "For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" There's a great day of the wrath of God that is going to come, and nobody can stand. Now, this wrath of God is going to come on the people who are going to be disobedient. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 3. Ephesians 5:3. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 3 says, "But fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as it is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. But this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, or has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. So let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." The wrath of God is going to come again. God's wrath is going to come upon those who are living in disobedience. And that is the lake of fire. In Mark chapter 9 verse 43, we see Jesus preach on this wrath. And how awful, how great is this wrath is going to be. And it is going to be very painful. Mark chapter 9, verse 43, Jesus said, "If your hand causes to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed rather than having two hands go to hell into the fire that will not be quenched. That means this wrath, people who are living in disobedience will end up in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. Jesus said, if your hand is sinning, it's better for you to cut your hand and not go, because it's going to be everlasting. Verse 44 says, their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. The fire is not going to be quenched. It's an eternal fire. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. So here Jesus shows how serious, how painful this wrath is going to be. You know what? In Acts chapter 2 verse 21 says, And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the good news. The good news is whosoever. That means it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how wicked you are. It doesn't matter how sinful you are. It doesn't matter how deep you have fallen into sin. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are. If you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the wrath that is going to come. This is the good news. And once you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, you don't come to God saying, because the fear of hell. No, you come to God because what He has done for you. That's why you come to God, because He took the punishment on your behalf, and now you say, I love you for the great things that you have done for me. That's why you come to Him. And that's why we need to ask the Lord, Lord, what a wretched, miserable sinner I am. Please come to me and take control of my life, that I will love you. And I will go to heaven, that I don't have to worry about hell anymore. And God is going to be my Savior and my Lord forever and ever. We are going to take communion today. And I would like